But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. This is the Living Waters Broadcast.
We welcome you today to the Living Waters Broadcast. We thank you for having tuned our way. The piranha fish is a small fish, but has an extremely powerful and dangerous bite. This bite is generated by large jaw muscles that are attached closely to the tip of the jaw. Strong jaws combined with finely serrated teeth make them adept at tearing flesh. Their teeth are tightly packed and interlocking and are used for rapid puncture and shearing. Individual teeth are typically broader, triangular, pointed, and blade-like. They swim in schools and can be very deadly. In 2012, a 5-year-old Brazilian girl was attacked and killed by a school of piranha. In January 2015, a 6-year-old girl was found dead with signs of piranha bites on her body after her family canoe capsized during a vacation in Brazil. In these cases, we see that piranha can be deadly. I heard an example of how South American cattlemen cross rivers and streams in South America that are infested with piranha. What they do is sacrifice an old or sick cow or calf and throw it into the river. They wait for the piranha to come and begin to devour the animal. Then they go 100 or 150 meters upriver and there cross over with the cattle. One animal is sacrificed so the others can cross safely over. The cows don't understand what has happened and that one died so they could cross over. They can't appreciate what the sacrifice really means. This makes me think of the Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on Calvary's tree. Do we really appreciate and understand the meaning of his cross? We aren't cows, and we have the capacity to understand and appreciate. But do we really appreciate? Does it really move us? There's a beautiful verse in 1 Peter 3:18 that speaks to this. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. It talks about Christ suffering here, but why did he suffer? It tells us here that he suffered for sins. He died for sins. He suffered the penalty for sin. One time I was given a ticket for speeding. The officer pulled me over and I admitted that I was speeding. I admitted that I was guilty and I asked him to have mercy on me and not give me the ticket. I asked for mercy and not for justice. He was very nice to me, but told me that he had to carry out justice, and that my being guilty meant that he had to serve justice on me. And that meant that I was going to get a ticket, and I did. The law punished me because I was guilty. The law says that the guilty are to be punished. Justice must be served. And here we see Jesus being punished, but we know that he was not guilty. He committed no sin. He lived a perfect life. He never once broke God's law and did not deserve to be punished for sin. Why was he on Calvary's tree then being punished for sin if he had never sinned? The verse gives us the answer. For Christ also has suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust. He was the just one, but he was there in our place. He went as our substitute. There's a hymn that puts it in a beautiful way. O Christ, what burdens bowed thy head? Our load was laid on thee. Thou stoodest in the sinner's stead, didst bear all ill for me. My load, my sin, and guilt was laid on him. He stood in my place and did bear all ill for me. What a wonderful thing. Galatians 2:20 says that he loved us and he gave himself for us. What a wonderful thing. For Christ also has suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. That he might bring us to God. We need to be brought to God. Our sin has separated us from God. Isaiah 59:2 tells us that, but your iniquities or your sins have made a separation between you and your God. Our sins separate us from God. And because of that, we need to be brought back to God. Only Jesus can do that. Many people think that the way back is by doing good deeds, doing good works, being nice and being a good person. It's good to do good works, but they are not going to take me to God. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 is very clear on this point. For by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, that no man should glory. If you are trusting in your own good works and effort to save, then you can't appreciate the Lord Jesus. You can't because you don't see your need of him, and you can't appreciate what he did. However, if you are conscious of the fact that you have fallen short, that you are guilty and condemned, deserving of hell, then you can truly appreciate the truth of this verse. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Let's make it personal. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, for my sins, sins that I committed, he being the just one, and I being the unjust one, that he might bring me to God. The man who truly understands that can shout hallelujah. The man who is deceived and thinks that he is good is not going to shout hallelujah, because his trust is in himself, and he doesn't see his need of Jesus. A few weeks ago, I shared about an Indian many years ago that really loved the Lord Jesus. He had surrendered to the Lord, and his attitude was one of, Lord, what would you have me to do? One day, someone asked him why he loved the Lord so much. It was in the fall of the year, and there were many leaves on the ground. He gathered up several handfuls of leaves and made a little circle with them. He then dug in the ground and found a worm and put him in the middle of the circle. He then set the leaves on fire, and the fire started to close in on the worm. The worm was desperately wiggling and trying to escape the fire. When the fire was almost in on the worm, the Indian reached down and took the worm away from the fire and set him free. The Indian then said, I was like the worm, and the Lord Jesus reached down and saved me. He realized that he was separated from God. There's nothing worse than that, being separated from God. He realized that he could not solve the problem himself. His good works did not matter to try to take away his guilt, because his guilt would still be there and still be separated from God. He then understood the truth of the verse that says, because Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. There was a hallelujah in his heart because he knew he was no longer separated from God, that he had been brought to God, the most supreme good that he could ever know. My friend, have you been brought back to God? You may well say, well, I've always gone to church and I'm a good person. That's not answering my question. Have you been brought back to God? You can't come back by means of what you have done. The verse clearly tells us that Christ suffered for sins once, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. Are you still separated from God today, my friend? Today is the day that you may come back, because God has made a way. Jesus is the way, and only he is the way. O Christ, what burdens bowed your head? My load was laid on you. You stood in the sinner's stead, and you did bear all ill for me. Can you say with the hymn writer that your load was laid on him, that he did bear all ill for you? My friend, the barrier to our coming back to God is sin, but God has made a provision for that. He sent his son to the cross to bear our punishment. And today, my friend, you can make that 180-degree turn and come back to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. The rebel today can return. The guilty can come back and receive forgiveness through our Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, my question today is, have you turned from your way and your self-trust and your rebellion to turn back to the Lord Jesus Christ just as you are and say, Lord, please forgive me for my rebellion. I turned away from you and went my own way, but today I am coming back. I bow the knee and receive you, Lord Jesus, as my Savior and as my Lord. Please forgive my sin. Please cleanse me and wash me with your blood. Come into my life and make me a new creature and give me grace that I may follow you and honor you and glorify you. My friend, today the door is open. God is calling. He has made a way for sinful men to be reconciled unto himself. And that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. The rebel can be forgiven today. The wayward one can return today. The guilty one can be cleansed today. And the lost one can be found today through the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to him, I pray. My time is almost up. I'd like to leave an email address if you would like to get in touch with us here at Living Waters. SPIV6327@BELLSOUTH.NET. I'll repeat it. SPIV6327@BELLSOUTH.NET. Please write us. We'll try to respond to you. We thank you today for having been with us and for having tuned in. We look forward to having you back with us next week here at the Living Waters broadcast. May God bless his word to your heart today.
This has been the Living Waters broadcast. If you'd like to reach us, send us an email at spiv6327@bellsouth.net. That's spiv6327@bellsouth.net.